This is Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. In the latter half of the last century, Baltimore lost roughly 100,000 manufacturing jobs. The factories shuttered, but the buildings remain, many of them clustered in desolate stretches of industrially zoned areas in southwest Baltimore. Like other former industrial cities along the East Coast, Baltimore is trying to figure out how to regain its manufacturing footing. The big factories may not return to their former use, but can other types of businesses blossom? And if so, what role can these shuttered factories play? That's a question Andy Cook has been asking. As an AmeriCorps Vista volunteer, he's working as an urban planner in the Baltimore City Planning Department. He's creating a database of former industrial buildings and sites across the city. So far, he's noticed about half of them are in southwest Baltimore, and he's got ideas about how they could be redeveloped. Along with the nonprofit's Baltimore Heritage and Housing Policy Watch, Cook is organizing a tour of a few sites in southwest Baltimore next Friday. And Andy Cook joins me in the studio. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So paint us a picture of the kinds of industrial buildings in southwest Baltimore that we're talking about.
Well, when I think of these buildings, the first one that comes to mind is my favorite, the sort of most iconic. It's the Eigenbrot Brewery. It's built in the mid-1870s, kind of a German Gothic sort of architecture. It's from an era when they built industrial buildings with a lot of care, and they built them to last. There's a lot of great, like, detail to this building, and while it certainly looks rough around the edges, so to speak, some trees growing out of it in places, it's still in remarkably good shape. And a lot of the buildings sort of in the area mirror that quality. They're built from a time when people really cared about, you know, the detail of the architecture of these buildings.
So beer is one of the products that mm-hmm. used to come from these buildings. What are some other kinds of manufacturing?
Southwest Baltimore was really a food hub of Baltimore back in around the turn of the century. There were a lot of breweries, there are a lot of butcheries, and there are a lot of bakeries. And a lot of it was run sort of by the German population that had settled there.
Tell us more about the shape that these buildings are in.
There, you know, many of them have been abandoned for decades. In looking at the region as a whole, not all of them, I think, are necessarily suited for new industrial uses. Some of them just need to be torn down. But there are a few, and that's the ones that we're going to be visiting on our tour, that are in good enough shape that I think redevelopment is a real option.
What's the endpoint that you envision? What kind of use? What activity?
Well, you know, these buildings were originally built for production of goods. And I think that those kinds of jobs are the kinds of jobs that Baltimoreans need. It's a sad reality that 75% of the people living in Baltimore don't have college degrees. And so the jobs available to them tend to be in, like, retail or sort of the service industry, which unfortunately don't pay great wages. They're usually not full-time. They usually don't have benefits. Jobs in manufacturing and other kinds of goods production industries tend to be the opposite. They're full-time jobs. They have benefits. They pay a living wage. So we're hoping, or I'm hoping, that these buildings will be homes for jobs like that. I'd like to see small goods-producing businesses sort of populate these structures.
That's Andy Cook, an AmeriCorps Vista volunteer working as an urban planner in the Baltimore City Planning Department. Here on WIPR, Maryland Morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking about how abandoned industrial sites in southwest Baltimore could be redeveloped. The first thing that I thought of when I heard about the tour you're putting together is incubators. We've seen incubators pop up around the country, including here in Baltimore. Would that be a logical thing to sort of be nurturing startups?
Definitely. Right now, you know, the city, we have the Emerging Technology Center, which is like a tech startup incubator on the east side. I would love to see a manufacturing incubator happen on the west side. Other cities have done this. Chicago has an example of one of these. Baltimore even used to have things like this back in sort of the heyday of the Industrial Revolution. There's a building, it's now an apartment building over just barely on the east side, that was a manufacturing incubator back around the turn of the century. Essentially a place where there are resources, tools, you know, cheap, affordable space for companies to get their start if they don't have a lot of capital. So I think, yes, I think incubators are a great idea. And, you know, they should be targeted to certain kinds of industries as well to really sort of maximize the ability of businesses to share resources.
Like what?
Well, for instance, two of the biggest, fastest growing small manufacturing subsectors in Baltimore right now are food and apparel. And there's talk about a food business incubator happening on the east side right now. I would love to see something focused on the fashion industry. You know, there's also, of course, a lot of talk about advanced manufacturing and new technologies that are allowing goods to be produce cheaper and cleaner, things like 3D printing and laser cutting. And those kinds of tools are being used a lot in the makerspaces that we see popping up in the city. Makerspaces are kind of just places that have these tools. People can sign up sort of in like a YMCA kind of model just to use the space whenever they have a project that they want to try or to learn some of these tools. I think that an incubator is kind of the next step in that process. So once someone has, you know, maybe been working at a makerspace and learning how to, like, I don't know, make some widget on a 3D printer, they decide that this is something that they could actually market, then maybe there would be a manufacturing incubator that could support them, give them the sort of business advice and resources that they would need to take it off the ground.
So there's really kind of two kinds of rebirth you're talking about. I mean, one would be the redevelopment rebirth of individual buildings, but you're also talking about trying to actually get a whole sector of the economy going again. What are the biggest barriers?
I think there's a number. In looking at, you know, the kind of work we're trying to see happen in Southwest Baltimore, of course, cost of redeveloping these properties is a huge barrier, and uncertainty of cost as well. You look at one of these buildings that's in pretty rough shape, it's clear that it needs a lot of work, but it's not clear exactly how much. And I think that uncertainty tends to make people shy away from projects like that. So figuring out a way to maybe quantify just what it would take to get one of these buildings back online is something that could, I think, remove a barrier. Another piece of this that I think is a big barrier is also just the way the perception of industry in communities. You know, when you use the word industrial, people have an image in their mind of like smoke pouring out of a smokestack, and it's dirty, and there's a lot of big trucks, and, you know, perhaps it's unhealthy. And so communities, I think, tend to resist industrial type uses in their backyards.
But this area already is zoned industrial.
Yeah, all the buildings we're visiting are zoned industrial, but they are very close to residences. And so I think that, you know, a major barrier is showing people what these new manufacturing practices are, showing them that they are not yesterday's industry. They're not steel mills. They're doing things that are environmentally safe. They're doing things that are quiet. And if they're talking about small businesses, we're not talking about like giant trucks. We're talking about smaller trucks. We're talking about less traffic. So it's kind of painting a picture of what the kinds of businesses we're talking about are, the kind of potential for the kinds of businesses we're talking about.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Andy Cook. He's an AmeriCorps Vista volunteer who works as an urban planner in the Baltimore City Planning Department. The tour of several vacant industrial sites in Southwest Baltimore that he's organized along with the nonprofits Baltimore Heritage and Housing Policy Watch, that's next Friday morning at 10, a week from now. Tickets are $20. We've got more information on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. Maryland Morning is an original production
of Your Public Radio,
WYPR,
in Baltimore.
The show is produced by Matt Purdy
and Jonna McCone.
Nathan Sterner directs and engineers.
Coffee for our guests provided by Zeke's Coffee in Lauraville. On the web at ZEKESCoffee.com.
I'm Tom Hall.
And I'm Sheila Cast. In the early to mid-1800s, Baltimore was a hotspot for conventions where political parties nominated their presidential candidates. On this day in history, 1848, the Democratic Party held its national convention in Baltimore and nominated Michigan Senator Lewis Cass. Cass went on to be defeated in the general election by the Whig Party's Zachary Taylor, the 12th president. We're back on Monday. Hope you'll share some of your Memorial Day with us.